Hello everybody, my name is Boris Jovanović and I'm part of the Lion Microsystems. I'm representing, in fact, Lion Microsystems, and I will talk about adaptive digital predistortion, which is realized using Lion SDR boards. Lion SDR boards that has Lion LMS 7002 transceiver IC 2x2C, and this board also involves some FPGA hardware, some Altera Cyclone 4 chip. So I implemented this for this demo, and I will show the results at first. I will not. I first must apologize myself because I brought here some Windows laptop. It's completely missed. I'm waiting for 18.0 Ubuntu, so until it gets here, so I will use this. So sorry, I had some problem with my previous laptop and I replaced it with this. So why predistortion is needed? Well, in fact, let's see here. Power amplifier, they are basically nonlinear devices, and their linearization is very important because they, by linearization, you achieve better power efficiency, and you should reduce your the cost of your wireless infrastructure. So I create some demo which involves Lime SDR board and some small power amplifier. It's Maxim chip, and I intentionally lowered the nominal power supply, which was 5 volts to 3.3 volts, in order to get some distortions to be noticeable on FFT. So this is the spectrum. I use WCDMA waveform for this demo, and as you can see, you have some distortions, MD3 distortions, and they are because of this power amplifier and its low power supply. So I will use the distortion method that I have implemented within my hardware. I will tell you after how I perform this. Let me see. Just need to press. Well, I have first to get the samples from the board. I have implemented in FPGA predistortor model. So I receive the samples from that FPGA at the beginning, at the input of predistortor, output of predistortor, and also in the receive path. I received three streams of data. So with these streams, I do the offline calculation that's performed on Intel CPU core. So predistortor implements all the mathematics inside, but I received the streams from that predistortor, and I finally take these streams to get new coefficients to upload in the predistortor, which is basically like a filter. These are the results. As you can see, there's no distortions on the sides of the spectrum of WCDMA signal. But there is some drawback. There is some a disadvantage. I reduced a little bit power of the signal. It's reduced for 2 dBs. Someone can notice that, but that is because a characteristic of a signal which is called peak to average power ratio. I should implement in predistortion model in front of this some crest factor reduction block which should deal with these signals with high spikes. So when if I used both predistortion model and crest factor reduction block, I would achieve distortion removal, and at the same time I will achieve the same power level as original signal. So in this demo I get distortions out, but there is small decrease. I needed a little bit of space on FPGA to implement these blocks. So all this is part of LimeSuite software. LimeSuite software is software supporting Lime LMS 7002 chip. I just implemented some new part of the software. Maybe somebody of you have already been using this Lime software. It's for configuration of Lime LMS 7002 chip. I just added some new function, some DPD monitoring window, and also I have also changed the FPGA gateway. So that is all for demo. I will stop jamming everything. I will shut down this power amplifier. And I will continue with the presentation. So I will speak about DPD model, and I will talk about some implementation platform, how I realized this, and I will give some measured results with real hardware, with real power amplifiers. Well, we usually check some characteristics when speaking about quality of signals. We find ACPR and EVM. So when ACPR is reduced and EVM is improved, we can obtain some complex modulation shams, and we can implement higher bandwidths and multi-carrier signals. So our solution improves the both characteristics, both EVM and ACPR. It's important to say this solution is open source. It can be downloaded on GitHub, but that open source solution is implemented, in fact, for some other type of the board, not this one, Lime SDR, but one other called QPCI Express, which is 4x4 MIMO. And with this board, you can do the LT stack, and at the same time, you should run DPD with LT stack. Basically, architecture is based on adaptive digital predistortion model, which is given in the figure. You have two main blocks called predistorter and postdistorter. You can see predistorter is implemented within FPGA. It performs some mathematics, fast mathematics. For example, for every sample with a sample rate 30.72, I do some complex mathematics, and which is something like some filter. And the signal at predistorted output is predistorted in order to linearize the following power amplifier. So this is some kind of baseband processing after the samples are upconverted, fed to LMS7002 chip. Up conversion is performed within this transceiver chip, and after the output is connected to the power amplifier. Post-distorter block is implemented within CPU core, within in the software, in fact. So that predistorter just takes the arrays of samples of predistorter input, output, and the signal in receive path. And with this stream of samples, it calculates the new coefficients. New coefficients are then uploaded into the FPGA, into the gateway. So it's some kind of iterative process. We obtain this that the process converges within one or two iterations. So it's very fast. The thing which is not fast, in fact, is communication. I have implemented that that streams are taken from FPGA chip. I have some I have some I can read some FPGA registers and take all these samples, and according all that samples I can calculate and upload new coefficients. So the model itself is based on Volterra series for modeling nonlinear system. So the both predistorter and postdistorter have the same model, and they share the same complex coefficients. According to these streams, we do the training, which is based on minimizing recursive least square error. So that algorithm just changes the complex coefficients in order to minimize the difference between the signals and at predistorter output and the received signal. So at the end, when the process converges, we have two equal signals, the identical one, X, and the second, which is received. This figure shows the implementation. On LIME SDR board, we have FPGA, LMS7002 chip, LMS7002 chip performs up conversion and down conversion, and LIME SDR performs performs the predistorter. So predistorter is implemented in LIME SDR board, and also there are some other blocks for that are used for capturing the samples. This board offers two DDR2 memory blocks, and I used one of them to store the samples. So I have the option from my software to tell the chip to start sampling, to start recording the array of samples into DDR2 memory. And after that, when I find out that that array is finished, that I can read all these samples and took them into the software. In software, I perform all the calculations, and after that, I will upload the new coefficients in predistorter model, which is inside the FPGA. So I have predistorter block, capture RAM blocks for predistorter input, output, and the received signal. And all these signals are transferred through USB port to CPU core, which performs all these calculations. Beside the modifications in Gateware, I also created some kind of GUI, which is dedicated to DPD. Signal YP is predistorted to cancel the distortion of power amplifier. Signal X, it's a measure of power amplifier output. As you can, at the beginning, it's quite distorted. After, when distorted is run, we have power amplifier linearized, and predistorted output is without distortion. Also, we have here the error between predistorted and polydistorted output. At the beginning of the process, we have huge error, and after, when conversion predistortion is done, the error is almost zero. It is almost flat line. That error is presented on these figures with before predistortion and after the predistortion. So we have for testing use several power amplifier. First test case is power amplifier Maxim integrated Max 2612. Saturated power was 19 dBm, and for that case we use single carrier WCDMA test model 1 with RF sinter frequency of 2.14 GHz. The second case was power amplifier class J GaN hemmed, and in fact we used two amplifiers which are cascaded. The first Maxim amplifier, and which is followed by the class J GaN hemmed amplifier. The saturation power is saturated power is 40 dBm, and for that case we use single carrier WCDMA test model 1 with center frequency equal to 1.5 GHz. And the third test case is with our power amplifier, 10 watt power amplifier. We used 20 MHz LT signal with RF sinter frequency 2.65. So this is with the first Maxim integrated power amplifier. As you can see, before predistorted is run, we have some distortions that are minus 34 dBc's. And the EVM was 6.58%. After predistortion is performed, we have some improvement in ACPR. Sorry, it is minus 51, and we have EVM 3.24. So with predistortion, we improve both EVM and ACPR. Also, what I did not mention is that with predistortion, we can also improve not only power amplifier nonlinearity, but we can also impact IQ imbalance of transmitter. This model solves two things: power amplifier nonlinearity, and the other one is IQ imbalance, especially one which is dynamically frequency dependent. So with this model, we implemented all these, we solved all the both problems. The second test case is the class J GaN hemmed amplifier. Before, without ADPD, ACPR was minus 43 dBc's, and with ADPD, it was minus 53 dBc's. So this amplifier is consisted of two amplifiers, Maxim 2612 and GaN amplifier with saturated power of 40 dBm. So with using of this, you can make your base stations with higher range. you should improve your signals significantly. The third case was our power amplifier. It operates in frequency range 2.1 up to 2.6 GHz. It produces 30 dBm output modulated power, and it has two parts, pre-driver and driver. Pre-driver is based on GaAs hemmed transistor, and the other part, driver, is based on hemmed transistor, 10-watt transistor, in which covers the frequency range up to 6 GHz. With using this power amplifier, we tested two signals, 20 MHz LT and 10 MHz LT signals, and the spectrums are given in following slides. So without ADPD at the start, we had minus 40 dBcs, and after DPD is performed, it goes up to minus 49. So we have 10 dBcs improvement. Also, we have improvement in EVM. That's the case for 20 MHz LT signal, and the second 10 MHz LT case, we have improvement of 11 dBcs in ACPR, and also we have improvement in EVM. So, finally, to conclude, our algorithm has been implemented on LIME SDR boards, and we verified it by measured results. So it's capable of canceling any distortion up to system noise floor, and we used three cases. First one is the most it's the most easy, and second one is more challenging, since there were two PA stages, and the third one is the most challenging, which had two pH stages and PA stages, and with much higher RF frequency and higher modulation bandwidth. So that's my presentation. Do you have some questions? Please.
Super interesting. I'm not sure if I really understand everything. It's a little above my level of, but I can relate it to the audio world and distortion in audio amplifiers. I'm wondering, was this work with every individual amplifier? Even if it's the same model, they might have different characteristics.
Yes, the system is adaptive.
Okay.
Is adaptive. It learns the characteristics of every amplifier, and in fact tries to produce the inverse characteristics.
Yeah, sure.
So you finally got the results, which is linearized. You pre-distort the signals to make the inverse characteristic of main power amplifier. So, and the system is iterative, and it's kind of not artificial intelligence, but you can easily learn the characteristic of any amplifier.
Yeah, okay, that makes total sense.
I mean, just to comment on that, it also as I said, it's adaptive, so it even compensates changes in the characteristics over time, right?
Over
and
over
temperature,
yes.
And so on. So it's an ongoing process.
They are slow changes. They do not happen often and suddenly, but they changes during the time, so that characteristics are monitored over time, and system very quickly adapts to that changes and creates the inverse characteristic of amplifier, of the current characteristic of amplifier.
So you're doing the training continuously, or do you? If you need to adapt over time, do you need to the training process?
Yes, basically it can be performed continuously with some period. I should not do it always, but after some time, depends on operating conditions. On I can do new training and update the coefficients.
But how often do you need to do this? Is it like once a second or like once an hour?
Oh, it depends on how I prefer. I don't know. Well, I created our solution to be able to implement new coefficients for several seconds, two seconds. So it's it depends on real application. What do you have?
What's the typical CPU usage and what's the typical FPGA requirement for this?
Well, for FPGA requirement, I need enough space for storing the samples. I have three streams of samples needed to make this mathematics. I do not use so much samples. I need 16 kilo samples, for example. So I need just to make this array, and after that to collect them. It can be done offline.
I'm mostly interested in like in the pre-distorter part, because like storing, I mean, obviously you need space, but more on the DSP side, which is real time.
I avoid real time.
But you have a block, the pre-distorter block, which is on the path.
It acts like a filter, but training is done offline. Training of coefficients. You have a pre-distorter block. It's kind of filter which has its own coefficients, and
how many tabs you have, how many DSP blocks you need for this filter
In pre-distorter.
Yes.
Well, I'm using multipliers, embedded multipliers, 18 by 18. For example, I use, for example, 40% of these DSP blocks within a Cyclone 4 chip. I think 90 multipliers for this. So it depends on the 90 mm-hmm. Multipliers. So it's not so big hardware. Also, beside these multipliers, you need some memory, enough memory to store, for example, 200 kilobytes of data, and after that you just read the data, perform offline calculations to find new coefficients, and upload it again into the pre-distorter on FPGA.
Yeah, well, that's only if you don't have enough bus bandwidth to stream in real time, right?
Well, bus bandwidth I use for some other things, for streaming LTE. So I spare that bandwidth.
No, I'm saying like in general, like if we're not speaking about Lime SDR.
Okay.
For example, on our Xtrix, we have plenty of bandwidth.
In previous versions, the colleagues provided me that streaming, continuous streaming, and that had influence on some other characteristics. They could not achieve bandwidth of LTE signals when they stream everything. So I spared the effort, and I have done it offline. Just I need to store somewhere them, and after that to collect everything.
Yeah, understood. Okay, and what kind of actual sample rate are you using for transmit and receive? Because if I remember correctly, DPD usually needs at least like three times the sampling rate.
So
both on transmit and receive side?
You should have the same frequency. If you have transmit path, you need a receive path doing at the same frequency. So For example, in this hardware, I'm running that 30.72 megasamples per second, but in QPC Express board, I used a little bit higher frequency, 2 times higher, and with this higher frequency, 61.44, I achieved to make predistortion running on LT signals 20 megahertz.
Sorry, I'm confused. So 20 meg LT signal requires 3072 megasamples, right?
No. I managed with 61.44. Somehow it's okay. Not so.
Basically, you sample at 61 uh-huh, something uh-huh. Mega samples, uh-huh. And that's enough. Transmit at 61.44, and you receive at 61.44, mm-hmm, and that's enough for you to.
Yes, DPD is running at that frequency. I store the samples, after collect samples and do the mathematics, upload the coefficients, and that's it. So that's the frequency, which is, I think,
good enough for
20.
Okay. And what about the CPU usage? What kind of CPU usage do you use?
For post-distorter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for post-distorter.
Post-distorter, just floating point mathematics.
Yeah, what kind of CPU do you have?
It's offline, and the most of the time is spent on getting the samples out from FPGA. After I do the mathematics very, very, very fast, and upload the coefficient also very, very, very fast. Mm. So it's not so important. It's relaxed.
Okay.
It's relaxed. I do not upload new coefficients so often. I do not need that.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, okay.
So it's not so bottleneck.
You mentioned that it takes 2 seconds. Is it 2 seconds to actually do all the mathematics, or is it 2 seconds including?
The most is to receive the samples.
Receive the samples. Okay.
And I mean the post distortion computation on the CPU, that's like a low priority background task. So I think it doesn't really matter so much. I mean. No.
Of course, it should be done as background task.
If you only need to redo the training like every minute or so or longer,
it's okay.
It doesn't matter if it. I mean, you can run that as the lowest priority on your CPU. It doesn't matter.
Yes, of course. You don't have to run on CPU with high performance. I need floating point arithmetics within that CPU, and everything would be okay.
One question I had, though, is that because you're using the RX channel to receive what you transmit.
Uh-huh. But then
how does your LTE base station works if it doesn't have RX anymore?
Base station. So this is only for demo.
Yeah, of course. But what solution do you recommend?
QPC Express board. So in the receive part, one receive part is dedicated to DPD, and the other would be dedicated for example, for performing LTE. I have implemented on some other boards.
But can they be tuned to different frequency? The two RX chain?
On different frequency. You have two LMS7002 chips.
Oh, you have two different LMS chips.
Two different LMS chips on.
Okay, it's not using the dual channel of the LMS. Okay.
Yes, that's the trick. This one is only for a demonstration, and it has one chip, and I cannot run LTE at the same time running DPD.
You can probably do TDD mode.
TDD mode, yes, of course.
Which is also LTE.
Right.
TDD. Who is using TDD?
China.
TDD is very popular. Yeah, China is all TDD. India is all TDD. Huh. I mean,
okay.
How does the because you said like the So this kind of this algorithm can also compensate for the like imperfection of the IQ imbalance, for instance, of that you transmit.
Yes.
But how does the IQ imbalance of your Erics influence? Because you're gonna your algorithm is gonna try to compensate for something that isn't really on the error.
Well,
right?
In fact, yes, good question. I cover Erics, but at the same frequency imperfections of receive path in that DPD. The receive we have one real receive path in the other chip, so we can influence only the transmitter path.
Okay, any more questions? No? Okay, thank you.
Okay, welcome.